السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. وقد قال الله تعالى: والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر هل في ذلك قسم لذي حجر. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، respected brothers, no sisters listening at the madrasa and those listening overseas, these being the days of ibadat, dhikr, tilawat, an increase in amal-e khair. These are the days for the virtues of which you have been listening to from different speakers. And there's abundant amount of literature also that has been distributed with regards to the virtues of these Mubarak days. That much at least, I'm certain that each and every one of you are familiar with by now, that in these Mubarak days, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala really and dearly loves the ibadat of the believers. I'm just giving you an explanation, a meaning, not quoting a hadith. That Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala dearly loves the ibadat. It is superior than other days of ibadat. Of course, each month has got its own significance. Laylatul Qadr has got its own significance. The whole month of Ramadan has got its significance. But when we are talking about a number of days, the 10 days that are referred to in this ayat, the 10 days and 10 nights. So just as we have the odd nights of Ramadan or the last 10 nights of Ramadan, now these 10 days and nights, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala dearly loves the ibadat. Ibadat is something that a person has to do all his life. There are different explanations and meanings that are given of this ayat with regards to the days, with regards to the nights and everything else, but I'm not going into a tafsir of those ayat. There's no time also for it, and you have been reading quite a bit about it. But this much we all know, that when we say that ibadat must be increased, so Islam is a religion, a deen, in which everything is ibadat. If we do it correctly, then our eating, drinking, our entry into the toilet and our exit from the toilet, the du'as that we read, and in the same way, all our transactions, our business deals, our safar and our hazar, traveling out and staying at home, talking to our wives and children cheerfully and happily, fulfilling the rights of people, giving charities, caring for the poor, the needy, the destitute. Everything is ibadat. There is no second of a Muslim's life that is outside ibadat, only if he does it with the correct intention and he does it according to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's command and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's farman. These two things are required. If he does it according to that, then it is ibadat. So then we will say, what about the sleeping then? Even his sleeping becomes ibadat. If he is sleeping so that he may be rested, so that he may be relaxed, so that he may get rejuvenated, he may get energy again next day to carry out his activities of life, to earn livelihood, to fulfill the rights of people, to make his salat. So then that sleep also, as I have given that example before, of my Shaykh Hazrat Shah Ki Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum, and he quotes as Mawlana Anwar Rahmatullah Ali, that it is like the sharpening of the saw of the person who is doing carpentry. That the person who is doing carpentry, nowadays we got all these electric saws. But in those days they should take the hand saw and it should take a lot of time. It should take a lot of time. After a little while of sawing, then the sharpening takes some time, an equivalent amount of time. Because they didn't even have those kind of sharpness. However, that person will be paid. He will be paid for the full day's job. We are not going to exclude the time that that person spent in sharpening the saw. Can anybody tell the carpenter that so many minutes you spent on sharpening the saw, which was of course a need, is not that he was passing time there. So then we can't exclude that, it will be part of it. So like that, this Muslim, this believer in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, look at Allah ta'ala's fazl and his kindness and ihsan that is sleeping now, but it is as if he is sharpening the saw, so that he may be able to cut the wood again, properly and quickly. Because if he doesn't do that, then that will be blunt. So if this person doesn't sleep, then his next day will be blunt. Because he'll be sleeping then in his namaz, he'll be sleeping in his tilawat, he'll be sleeping in his zikrullah, and he may sleep in his business also. And we don't know how much of stealing will then take place if he goes off to sleep in his business. If everybody doesn't sleep at night, they say, no, we're going to make ibadat, whole day fast and whole night ibadat, because we read in the kitabs, many people fasted whole day, and they kept, and they stayed awake the whole night. So now we read all those incidents, and then we say that we are now going to follow them. So can we follow them? We will appreciate that there were many in the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam who had that much love for Allah ta'ala and that much strength Allah ta'ala gave to them. And that much barakat Allah ta'ala gave to them in their time also. That even if they stayed awake the whole night, in that little sleep that they had, some part of the day was, or after Maghrib, or little while also, Allah Ta'ala gave them so much of barakat in that sleep that it was sufficient. But we cannot do that. We are not in that caliber and category. So therefore we will say that we require sleep also. So it is simple that the person, if he is going to sleep now, then sleep is not going to do anything. There is no ibadat that he is now making. Now which ibadat this person is now going to make in his sleep? Voluntarily. Can any person control his ibadat in his sleep? There are many people in the sleep also, they read tasbih, or they are making namaz, or they are performing hajj, or they are serving the needy and the poor in the dream. So now that's ibadat they made. But can anybody say that that was controlled, it was voluntary? Can anybody control that? Because that person who is fast asleep, the person who is fast asleep, and he knows that he is fast asleep, then can he be fast asleep? The person is fast asleep and he knows also that I'm fast asleep, then can he be fast asleep? So that ibadat which he will do in his sleep, that is involuntary, it's not in his control. Of course, some people read tasbih very loudly with the snoring. Very loud tasbih. Gets everybody up around them. So that is the Muslim's way of life, very beautiful way of life, very simple, very practical, that everything that he does, simple, just look at what Allah Ta'ala and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have ordered, commanded, and if he does it in that manner, then he's sleeping, drinking, talking, walking, everything becomes ibadat. So then when we say that in these Mubarak days, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala really loves ibadat, or it is superior than other days. So now what does that mean? Because everything that the Muslim is doing is ibadat. For ibadat, just as everything is covered in this one word, ibadat, obedience to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We become the slaves of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. A person becomes a true abd of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. As Khaja Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Alayhi purchased one slave in those days, it was permissible they used to buy slaves and sell. Islam came and regulated, and slowly, slowly freedom came for all the slaves. The fact is that when he purchased the slave was a very pious slave. They were very, very pious slaves also. In their progeny we have great muhaddithin, we have great mufassireen, we have great, great awliya-i-kiram. I can give the names of so many people came in the progenies. So in any case, so he asked him, where are you going to sleep? He said, I'll sleep wherever you put me to sleep. What are you going to eat? He said, whatever you give me to eat, I will eat. He said, what kind of clothes would you like to wear? He said, whatever kind of clothes you give me to wear, I will wear. And he said, what name do I call you by? He said, whatever name you wish to call me by. So he said, but don't you have any kind of wish or desire of your own? He said, if I had any kind of wish and desire of my own, would I have been a slave? The person, if he is a slave, but he can fulfill all his desires. So he said, would I have been a slave? So the Khaja Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Alayhi made ah and collapsed. Look at them, they used to take lessons from everything around them. So Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Alayhi, remind me if I slip upon what I was saying. So Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Alayhi, one woman came to complain about her husband. I mentioned this incident before too. Read it in his life and his works. She came with a niqab and she said that if it was permissible for me to open this niqab and show you my face, then I would have shown it to you. That what a pretty woman I am. But in spite of that, my husband now, he has cast his glance somewhere else. His gaze falling on some other woman. So Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Alayhi, now he heard this and he again made ah, and he also could. Now to us these things don't make sense because we don't have that kind of ishq and muhabbat of Allah and His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Everything is just mechanical, is absolutely dry. There is nothing that we can say that has got some kind of essence and spirit in it. These people, they knew Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. They recognized Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. They had His ma'rifat. They had Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's ishq and muhabbat in their hearts. Their ibadat also, there was some kind of zawq and shawq in it. So they asked him that, what was this? There was nothing serious, this woman said, and you collapsed. He said, my mind straight away went on to my Allah. Here she says that I've got a pretty face and my husband is casting his glance somewhere else. So my gaze went on to Allah. That who can be more beautiful than Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Who could have more jamal than Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Who can have more greatness than Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? The one who gave beauty to the mountains and to the rivers and to the lakes and to the animals and to the human beings. How much of beauty he must have got. So then why should we turn our gaze away from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? So we go back to Hazrat Khaja Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Alayhi. He said that this slave taught me a very, very important lesson. A very important lesson. That he is a slave. And therefore he has no desire of his own. So like that, says, we are the slaves of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We are the bandas of Allah ta'ala. Tu hai banda khuda ka khuda ki qasam. Banda khuda ka khuda ki qasam. Ghar mein Quran hai, tilawat nahi hai. Ghar mein Quran hai, magar tilawat nahi hai. You've got Quran Sharif in the house, but there's no tilawat. And if there's tilawat, there's no understanding. And if there's some understanding, there's no amal. So in any case, he says that this slave has taught us that we are the slaves of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So therefore we should say that our desires, we have submitted to the desire and the will of Allah ta'ala and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is what this month of Qurbani is all about. Hajj is all about. Sacrifices are all about. Submission of our will and desire to Allah ta'ala's will. What kind of Islam and Iman is this, that one minute we are with Shaitan and one minute we are with Rahman? One minute we are talking Deen, Quran, Sunnah, Iman, Islam. And the next minute we are just going one way, hook, line and sinker with Shaitan and with our nafs. حج کعبہ بھی کیا، گنگا کا اشنام بھی، خوش رہے رحمان بھی، راضی رہے شیطان بھی. There cannot be a Muslim. Allah Ta'ala must also stay razi and Shaitan must also stay razi. Can it happen? So therefore he says this slave has taught us such an important lesson. So when we are talking about increased ibadat in these Mubarak days, then as I explained to you that a Muslim's whole life is ibadat. Now that increased ibadat will not then mean that if he was earning a livelihood, which is ibadat, the person was going to his business, his niyat was earning halal risk to provide for the wife and children. Now can we say that in this 10 days, increase ibadat will mean open up another 10 businesses? Can we say now that this person now increased ibadat, because everything is ibadat, so now in these 10 days now go and start opening up new factories and new business houses and increase your workload because you want to earn more and more risk now and it's ibadat. Will that make sense? Although it's ibadat. In the same way, if a person says that eating was ibadat. So now normally I used to eat 2 slices of bread. So I must increase my ibadat in these 10 days. So I will increase it to 1/2 loaf. And before I used to have 1 item on the menu. So now I'm going to increase it to 5 items on the menu. 5-course meal I'm going to have now. Because I must increase my ibadat. So there has to be a proper understanding also that there is no doubt. Everything that the person does, there's no doubt that it is ibadat if it's done properly. But when we are talking about ibadat in these Mubarak days, then we are really referring to increase in Quran Sharif Tilawat, increase in Nafil Namazes, increase in charities, increase in our Tilawat of the Quran Sharif, increase in our Zikrullah, increase in our Tahajjud, Duas. We are increasing this bond with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in this Mubarak month. So everything was ibadat, but now this will be a special kind of ibadat. Therefore we are told that if a person fasts in these Mubarak days, then he gets the sawab of having kept 1 whole year's fast. And if he makes ibadat in these Mubarak nights, then it is like ibadat on the night of Qadr. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it has been reported by Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha. She says that 4 things Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam never missed. Now of course when these type of hadiths come, ahadiths come, it doesn't mean that those are the only 4 things. But there are different things that are mentioned in different ahadiths. But in this particular reference for the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they say he did not miss out fast in these Mubarak days. Now again I explained many a times that we may not be able to keep all the fast because our lifestyles are different. We don't have that kind of capacity and strength. Although we can if we wish to. But at least 1 or 2 fasts if a person keeps also. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he did not miss out fast. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says he did not miss out fast of the day of Ashura, 10th of Muharram. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not miss out 13th, 14th and 15th fast of every month. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not miss out the 13th, 14th and 15th fast of every month. So these were things that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not miss out. And together with that, then she mentions, and he did not miss out on the 2 rakats of sunnat of fajr. Now with those fasts, now she's mentioning specific mention of the 2 rakats sunnat of fajr. Therefore, there's so much of emphasis on the sunnat of fajr, that even if a person is a musafir, then other sunnats, there is some sort of concession, exemption. But when it comes to the sunnat of fajr, then as far as possible, the person should perform the sunnat of fajr. And then of course there is that little difference of opinion that if the Imam has started it, the namaz, then what should we do? Straight away go and join the salat, or if there is enough time that you could get the Imam in the ruku of the 2nd rakat, then you must still make your 2 sunnats away from the congregation side, right at the back somewhere. Now all that is fiqhi ikhtilafat. What we mean is differences of opinion when it comes to jurisprudence. Now, I'm not going into that direction. But the emphasis, now this is taken from the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. It's not that somebody just sat up and cooked up something. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we can see that on certain days, certain months, certain times, he used to increase his ibadat. Whereas Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his whole life was ibadat. Can anybody else's life be ibadat? Like Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which breath of his, we will say, was not ibadat. But then we know that in the month of Ramadan, in the last days, he was making i'tikaf in the masjid. Now when he was making i'tikaf in the masjid, what else was he doing in the masjid besides tilawat of the Quran Sharif, zikrullah, dua, istighfar? Yet he was masoom and sinless. So sometimes shaitan whispers in and puts us off beat. No, there are lots of other things to do. This is not ibadat, is doing this and doing that outside. No doubt there is. All that is ibadat. Social work, welfare work, this work, that work is all ibadat. But then at certain times there must be also this filling up of the well. If there is a well from which all the time water is distributed and taken out, then all wells are not Zamzam wells. Zamzam well you can keep on taking till Qiyamah day is not going to reduce. But try that out with other wells in the villages and other places where they've got wells. Or we've got a borehole here, just go run the thing one way, 24 hours. And see, after some time it will dry up, that you'll get sand coming out from there. So most of us, this is our weakness, that sometimes we are so concerned about the others that we forget ourselves. We forget that we have to also fill up. We are negligent when it comes to our ibadat, our tilawat, our zikr, and our ta'alluq ma'allah late at night, raising our hands when there's nobody, when there cannot be any kind of show business, nothing but sincerity. There's nobody between this person and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And at that time the person sheds tears of remorse and regret, and acknowledges before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that indeed I am shameless, I am sinful, I am the worst of all your creation on the surface of the earth. But my beloved Allah, don't allow any kind of embarrassment, shame and disgrace to come upon me in this world, in the qabr, in the akhirah. The person acknowledges his mistakes before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and asks for his forgiveness, for his mercy. And Allah ta'ala himself every night without fail. The month of Ramadan and on the certain big nights, it is a different thing. But when it comes to the Laylatul Qadr, etc. But otherwise, every night, after two-thirds of the night, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala himself announces, is there anyone seeking forgiveness that I may forgive him? Anyone seeking sustenance that I may give him sustenance? And then it goes on like that. Now Allah ta'ala is opening up the doors wide. Are there any servants of mine that are wanting to take from these unlimited treasures of mine, then I'm prepared to give it to them. But if the banda himself says, Ya Allah, I am not in need of it. We may not say it in clear words, but we show it. And then we complain, this problem not solved, that problem not solved, that problem not solved. Apne malik se ut kar ke far yaad kar Dil ko sajde mein ro ro ke abad kar Apne malik se ut kar ke far yaad kar Dil ko sajde mein ro ro ke abad kar Cry before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Cry in sajda and then light up this heart. Bring life into this heart. Our hearts do not have life. Like that, all creatures and there's so many animals all have hearts. Human beings have hearts, everyone has heart. But in reality, the true heart is the heart of the mu'min. Heart of the mu'min, which beats in the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. Hayat-e qalbiyat, it is called, that we have to bring life into the heart. Hayat into the heart. When the hayat comes into the heart, then our hands will work right. Hands will touch right. Our feet will walk to the right places. Then our eyes will see only that which is permissible for it to see. then our tongues will speak the truth. It's not going to take false oaths and qasams. There'll be no lies. Then there'll be no cheating and deceiving in our businesses and in our dealings with people. Then there'll be no gambling and no fornication and no adultery. Nothing will take place after that because the person has now got hayat in his heart. But if that heart is not in that good condition, so fasad al jasadu kullu. How the body, if the heart is not in good condition, then it is decadent. In the same way, if the heart is not in good condition, then that is what is going to happen. So this is the purpose why every now and again we are given different days with different nights. Sometimes we are told to fast, sometimes we are told to stay awake at night, sometimes we are told to make this ibadat, that ibadat, or increase our charities, do this, do that. Now this is what we need. And when the person is going to appreciate and value these Mubarak days, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala also rewards him tremendously in different ways. There are so many things that have been mentioned in the kitab. And Allah ta'ala is not in need of our ibadat, is he in need of our ibadat? And again, we are not saying that stay awake the whole night. Nobody is saying read Quran Sharif the whole day. But abstinence from sins in these days, abstinence from sins. If a person just stays away from haram, he makes his 5-time namaz, he reads his wajib, or fulfills the wajib and the sunnat, and reads his, and stays away from haram, that person is a waliullah of the time. Because there are two things, one is positive and one is negative. Now the positive ibadat, sometimes there is a lot of enjoyment in the positive ibadat. Those people who are gone for hajj now, in Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah, when they will go, and also the tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif, and the presentation at the Rosa Mubarak, and the Salat and Salam, and sometimes the reading of the namaz in that, around the Kaaba Sharif. There's a lot of enjoyment. If there was no enjoyment, what will make that person make tawaf whole night there? Nobody forced him to do it. What is making him go over and over around the Kaaba Sharif? Late night in the heat of the day. Once there was floods, and people were even swimming and making tawaf. In the 1960s, floods, the water came right up to halfway to the Kaaba Sharif. And people were swimming and going round and round. Tawaf didn't stop. So there's enjoyment. Otherwise, what made those people swim and make tawaf? So in the positive ibadat, there is some kind of enjoyment. In zikr, there can be enjoyment. Those who have enjoyment in the tilawat of the Quran Sharif, they don't want to leave the Quran Sharif. So that is not so difficult, the positive ibadah. But the real difficulty is in the negative. And the negative is the giving up, leaving out, distancing oneself. Sometimes the Haji Sahab made thousands of tawafs, but he can't give up his adultery, fornication, and when he returns, he can't give up those filthy pictures on the internet and the filthy pictures on the TV screens. In fact, the very first day upon the return, they start watching. So he became Haji Sahib, alhamdulillah, all the positive ibadat he did, but after that, what about the negative? So the negative is the giving up, and that is where the pain comes on the spiritual heart. That the pain comes there, that you have to give up something to which you are addicted, then that is where the pain comes. And that is what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala dearly loves. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala dearly loves that this person out of the muhabbat of Allah ta'ala or the khawf of Allah ta'ala, he gives up that which is displeasing to Allah and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That is showing true love, that whatever is displeasing to the beloved, he does not want to do that. Otherwise, what kind of love is that? So therefore, we have to understand that these Mubarak days, this is what we should be doing. If we have already shown some negligence, it was time make amends. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give you and the ummah at large the tawfiq of amal. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Ya Rahim, Ya Kareem, Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram, Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram, Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram. Oh my beloved Allah, my Rahim, Allah, Kareem, Allah, most forgiving Allah, most compassionate, most loving, most caring. Indeed, we are the most sinful servants of yours on the surface of the earth. Day and night we have been disobedient to you. We have used your bounties day and night for your disobedience. My beloved Allah, if there had been any other Allah, he would have destroyed us by now. How kind you are, how loving you are, how compassionate and merciful and forgiving you are. In these Mubarak days, my beloved Allah, we are still negligent. Forgive us. Forgive our parents, wives and children, brothers and sisters, family members, Ummat of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. Whether they're in hospitals, clinics, homes, amongst us, wherever they may be, bless them with complete shifa. We are physically ill, we are spiritually sick. Ya Rabbi Kareem, bless us all with complete shifa from all sicknesses and ailments. We know that sometimes sicknesses, ailments, diseases, difficulties can be a rahmat in disguise. But even if it is in the form of rahmat, change it to the rahmat of good health. If the poverty is rahmat, change it to the rahmat of good wealth. If the weakness is rahmat, change it to the rahmat of strength. Ya Rabbi Kareem, those who are on journeys, make them reach their destination safely. Those who have gone for hajj or are still going for hajj, make it easy for them. Make their hajj makbool, mabroor and asan. Ya Rabbi Kareem, unke tawaf, ziyarat, ibadat, safa, marwa. Their mina, arafat, muzdalifa, ya Rabbi Kareem, all the rituals of hajj. Make it extremely easy for them. Accept their duas. Rabbi Kareem, include us in their duas. Hey Rabbi Kareem, those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Protect us and our children from all the fitnas that are lashing at us like storms from all sides. Hey Rabbi Kareem, those who are writing examinations, give them success in their examinations. Protect them from all the fitnas that are lashing at them at the schools and colleges and universities. Ya Rabbi Kareem, bless us with hayat and life in our hearts. Bless us with your qurb, with your marifat, with yaqeen in you, with your muhabbat, and the muhabbat of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rabbi Kareem, in Indonesia, in Pakistan, Sudan, Somalia, Palestine, all parts of the world, wherever the ummah is going through suffering and difficulties and hardship and pain and problem, remove the difficulties. Ya Rabbi Kareem, wherever disasters have struck, with your fazl kindness, remove the pain and suffering. It is because of our sins, my beloved Allah, that the ummah around the globe is suffering. Forgive us and forgive the ummah of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Open the floodgates of rahmat for us and for the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Open the floodgates of forgiveness for us and the ummah of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bless us with all the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption, fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bless the entire mankind with hidayah. Make everyone worthy of entry into Jannah. Bless us with all the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam begged for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. Ya Rabbi Kareem, you are well aware of the good wishes, good desires, aspirations of each and everyone who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night. Ya Allah, fulfill their good wishes, good desires and aspirations. We may not know, but you know, my beloved Allah, the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering, the test and the trial of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night. With your fazl, with your kindness, whatever that difficulty may be, whatever that problem may be, whatever the hardship may be, whatever the suffering may be, with your fazl and kindness, remove that suffering, pain and harm. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى خَيْرِ خَلْقِهِ سَيِّدِنَا وَنَبِيِّنَا وَشَفِيعِنَا وَمَوْلَانَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.